now that the conference realignment nonsense has kind of slowed down a little bit, hopefully with some ACC, things are a little bit more stable with the ACC heading into next week. I'm going to have Mitch on, and we're going to look at the 2023 season, which is only a couple months away. I'm going to look at what BC needs to do to dig themselves out of a 3-9 season. We'll get into all of that on today's show.
You are Locked On Boston College, your daily podcast on the Boston College Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome. This is Locked On BC. I am your host, AJ Black. I'm the publisher of Eagle Insider, part of the 247 Sports Network. On today's show, BC has to improve. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. They cannot do again what they did last year. It would be catastrophic for the program. We've gotten into that. But it's time to turn that page, give a little bit of positive vibes, and look at next year. And to get those positive vibes, I have on Mitch Wolf, staff writer on my site, Eagle Insider. Mitch, how's it going?
It's going good. Very excited to, as you said, turn the page from the 2022 season and start really getting into this upcoming season, which, you know, it's the spring, positivity abounds. It's a pretty favorable schedule. Team is looking pretty good in terms of, at least on paper. So really excited to get into this topic.
All right. So there, last year, there was a lot that went wrong. There were, you know, and I think if you would ask any folks that watch a minute or 2 minutes of a BC game, if you would ask them what the biggest issue with this team was, they would, if they know what's going on the field and just don't say it's the coach, which people who just want to take the lazy way out go, the easiest answer, and the most probably the most realistic answer, is that offensive line. Mitch, let's get into it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, and a big part of it was injury. So it was just things that you can't really change or adjust or, you know, make improvements on in the season. You know, you're losing guys left and right. You lose, you know, probably your best offensive lineman. Arguably best player, but Zay was still there. So, you know, you're one of the top three players on your offense, maybe even top five on the team before the season even starts. You're starting a redshirt freshman who hasn't really played at center. You're breaking in a new left tackle, really. You lose your starting right tackle after week two. You lose one of your starting guards after week, three or four. So you're shuffling guys in and out, and you can't get any continuity in the offensive line. And you could just see how it broke everything down. You know, they couldn't protect the quarterback regardless of who it was. They had to get the ball out quickly or risk getting sacked for a big amount of yardage. They couldn't run the ball at all. As I wrote an article a little while ago, it was the worst rushing attack that was from a Power 5 non-Mike Leach coach team in the last 15 years. Just absolutely no ability to get any continuity going. And as we've said, that bleeds into the rest of the team. You know, if your offense can't sustain drives and stay in the field, your defense has to be on the field a ton more, and they're going to suffer as a result of it. But sticking with the offensive line, you know, there was just nothing to build the offense around besides just, you know, try to get the ball to Zay as much as you can and hope he can make some magic with it, which he was able to do at times. But, you know, even though we all love Zay and he's a great player, you know, he has a limited amount of magic that he can create. So this year, like I've said, you know, there's really no way they could be any worse. And even if they just get to being an average offensive line for college football in both pass blocking and run blocking, that's just a massive improvement that should, you know, catapult the entire offense. And like I said earlier, that can have trickle down effects to the rest of the team.
Yeah. I mean, and you brought up the injuries. I think that's important too. Like I thought Jeff Hafley did a great job of addressing this in the transfer portal. For all the crap that people have given him over the last couple of years for not hammering the portal, he got over a dozen players to fix this. And yeah, go ahead.
I was gonna say, yeah, two offensive linemen who are, you know, both could start. One is, at least one is definitely going to be a starter. And I'm interested to figure out kind of, you know, you have Hurgle, who's kind of, they're kind of opposite sides of the coin. You have Hurgle, who's smaller. He's not, you know, physically imposing or super athletic, but he's very refined in terms of his technique and his knowledge. Whereas Taylor is obviously a younger player. He's much bigger. He's a great athlete, very physically skilled, but a lot more raw in terms of his technical skills. So, you know, and as Halfley has discussed, now you're pretty much going into this season, you're two deep at every position on the offensive line, sometimes even three deep with guys who have at least some experience playing college football against real opponents. It's not just guys who, you know, have played against an FCS team in the fourth quarter when the game is out of hand. Like, you know, even though the results weren't great, you know, guys like Jude Bowery or even Otto Hess, you know, they've faced live bullets in meaningful games. Right. So if one guy goes down, you can plug one of those guys and be like, okay, you know, he might not be, you know, if let's say like Christian Mahogany has to miss a game, those guys aren't going to be Christian Mahogany, but it's not going to be like, okay, this is a huge hole where this guy has some experience, so he can at least be competent and the entire offense isn't going to fall apart because of it.
Right. And like you said, like this year, you have guys on the two deep where some of them you may not want out there for like the full season, but it's a vast improvement over plugging in guys that were defensive linemen 4 months before and guys that had no experience. I think in itself, that depth is a major selling point in terms of buying high on where this offensive line could go.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of hard to parse out, you know, what else they could improve on offense because those things were so bad, but you know, we obviously want to touch on those a little bit. You know, I think in terms of receivers without Zay, you know, you hope a guy like Ryan O'Keefe steps into that role. Obviously he's probably not gonna be able to replace all of Zay's production, but you hope he can, you know, mimic it at least like an 80% rate. You hope that Joe Griffin continues to develop. You hope Jaden Williams kind of gets back to becomes a more consistent player with those flashes that we've seen at times. You hope the tight end position has a little more continuity, just fewer injuries. And then again, the running game, it's really hard to evaluate especially the running backs themselves because of how bad the offensive line was. But, you know, we've seen Patrick Garwell been able to be successful with a good offensive line. We saw him develop into a much more well-rounded back in terms of pass protection and pass catching. You have an explosive threat in Alex Broom, and then you've got a guy with a pretty unique skill set in Kai Robichaud. So you have plenty of depth at these positions. And then with the offensive line being significantly improved, again, it might not be great, but it's significantly improved from where it was. And that will at least allow these guys to say, hey, we're at least at a base level of offensive offensive line. That gives you guys room to take the offense to the next level without having to put all the responsibility of carrying the offense on any one of these offensive playmakers.
And this is not what one of our comments was, but I feel more confident this year because Halfley has built depth on both sides of the ball. I feel like this is the first year where you're looking at multiple positions and you're feeling like, you know, tight end might be one where you're like, oh, maybe there's not as much depth, but he feels confident about it. But you're looking at like quarterback. You've got two guys now, Castellanos and Moorhead. You've got an offensive line that's got 2 to 3 deep. You've got a running back group. You've got wide receivers. And then on the defensive side, up and down that depth chart, you feel like you finally have guys where it won't be injuries this year. It won't be a Phil Dracovic going down or Kevin Klein or Christian Mahogany that goes down. And then all of a sudden everything goes off the rails. It feels like finally this is going to have a team that has depth. And and Halfley says that, but I kind of think that he might be onto something there.
Yeah. And the important thing is that this team can, like, they're not going to be as injury plagued as they were last year. Cause injury luck there's a few times where you see a certain pattern, but I would say like usually on a year to year basis, that luck kind of pendulum swings back and forth. You know, one year you'll have everybody get hurt and it's just terrible. And you can't do anything, you know, kind of thinking back to like BC was in 2015 where everybody mostly on the offense just kept getting hurt. And then the next year, you know, you have a few guys, you have maybe one guy who has a season ending injury. You have a few guys, you know, get dinged up. I think Halfley's phrase is bumps and bruises, or that might be Mike Tomlin. I get their aphorisms and catchphrases confused sometimes, but you know, you get those little nicks and that's fine. And then they come back in a game or two, but I hope, and I don't think that it's likely that BC is as plagued by injuries this upcoming year.
So, yeah, in a moment, we're going to get into another piece. I had Mitch on for two segments, but it only took one segment for one of our keys. So Mitch might be here the whole show. And we'll get into what the second key will be in just a moment. Now, if you heard yesterday's show, I introduced you all to Bird Dog. I am wearing my other pair of Bird Dogs today. They're a pair of shorts. I love them. I look better and feel great wearing Bird Dogs. They're stretchy fabrics. They make my legs feel comfortable, and they're perfect. These, I was looking for shorts this summer. I'm back into running, so I'm getting myself back into shape, and these are perfect. They feel great. They're easy to, they're breathable. They're awesome. Okay. And so you need to go to birddogs.com. And if you use promo code Locked On College, they're going to throw in a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti style tumbler with every order. I'm telling you, these are perfect for dads. They're perfect for you. And for folks that are looking for shorts and gear that is made perfectly for you, you need to check out Bird Dogs. So go to birddogs.com and use promo code Locked On College. I'm telling you, you're going to love what you get. All right, folks, we are here with Mitch Wolf, and we're talking about BC. Before we get into that, our everydayers out there, folks like Marty Party, folks like everyone else out there that I know are kind of lurking in the background, thank you all so much. We are the only daily Boston College podcast out there, and you folks are the reason why we keep doing it. Thank you so much. And if you're new, I want to welcome each and every one of you. Thank you so much for checking us out. I hope you enjoy it. Go back into our archives. Check out some other episodes. We have some great BC content, and I'm telling you, we've got some great BC content coming up. All right, Mitch, on to our second key. Go ahead.
All right. So this one is something that I've kind of found when I was working an article that I got published today about the biggest game changers for BC. And it's also tied into something that we've talked about. I think you've mentioned on the podcast before, and it's basically how Jeff Hafley remade the secondary this offseason. You lose Josh DeBerry and CJ Burton to the transfer portal. You lose Jaden Woodby to the NFL. And then you bring in guys as pictured like Victor Nelson, Alex Washington, and you're promoting, you lose Jason Maitre as well. You're promoting a guy like Cole Batson to be more of a full-time starter, and you still have Elijah Jones, and you also add Kari Johnson, transfer from Arkansas. And the reason why I forget him is because there's a theme with most of these other guys that transferred in and the guys who are taking on bigger roles is that they are taller, longer defenders, and most of them have pretty good ball skills. And I think based on what happened last year, which was when BC only intercepted 7 passes, which was tied for 101st in college football. So they were near the bottom. About 30 or so teams had fewer interceptions than BC, and none of them returned for touchdowns. And obviously that's, kind of a fluky thing, but it is what it is. And, again, we talked about how the offense let the defense down because of their inability to stay in the field. But, the defense didn't help themselves a ton either, just because they weren't able to create a ton of turnovers and to give the offense some more opportunities, maybe to at least try something. And I feel like the guys that they got, especially a guy like Victor Nelson, who had 6 interceptions last year, you're looking for these guys that have really good length that, in addition to being able to physically affect receivers at the line of scrimmage and throughout the route, they also are ideally better situated to reach out and grab the ball out of the air and create more turnovers. And that's something that I think BC really needs to do better at in 2023. I think that's something that they will improve on based on these additions that they've made. I think you're going to see Victor Nelson play a very integral role in this defense. He will play as a strong safety for BC, but BC is slowly but surely incorporating more 2-high shells into their defense. And that's something that Nelson has more experience in coming from Long Island University. He played a lot of free safety there, but you have a guy like Cole Batson who is super long, super tall, who he doesn't have the opportunity, but he seems like a guy that's going to be able to make a lot of his interceptions because with that long frame, with him kind of being the back end of the defense, he can kind of be rangy, patrol around, and when he sees the ball, break on the ball and make a play on it. So again, this is something that if the defense can start creating these turnovers, they can put the offense in better field position situations that can ideally lead to more points on offense. So this is, again, it's all about creating complementary football, which is something that BC, frankly, really struggled with the last 2 years because of, you know, incontinuity at the at the quarterback and offensive line positions, respectively.
All right, Mitch, teach us, what is two highest shell safety?
Okay, so two highest shells, essentially when two safeties are back about 15 yards deep, and this can encompass either cover two, when, and if you played NCAA or played Madden, you know, think about cover two where there's two deep safeties. It can be cover four where there's four deep defenders, or it can be cover two man where there's two deep defenders, but everybody, all the other defenders underneath are in man coverage. And essentially, Jeff Hafley's been exceptionally married to single high shells for most of his time at BC. Go back to his time at Ohio State as well. They had a very funky defense 1 year there because they would have one free safety and three corners and then have a normal 4-3 front seven because their corners were amazing, because they had Jeff Okuda. They had Jordan Fuller on the back end, who was a pretty good free safety for the Rams. And I think Damon Arnett was the other corner, who was a first round pick, but he washed out of the NFL due to kind of off-field stuff. And then I can't remember the other one, but BC's obviously not gonna do that because they don't have that kind of talent, but that's something that Jeff Hafley has been very reliant on. And, you know, when guys like Deion Jones and Jason Mitchell have been healthy and the rest of the defense has been good, that scheme has worked. But once you start having injuries and you kind of have to dig deeper down the depth chart, that's when problems start to arise. And part of the reason why BC likes to do the single high thing is that because we only have one guy deep, you have another defender in the box or over the slot. And it's kind of surprising because most people think of two high shells as being oriented towards stopping the pass more, but according to somebody that I talked to with the BC program, the reason why they like single high shells is because it does limit explosives, because you have that one defender patrolling the back and middle of the defense. Whereas in two high, it's what's known as middle of the field open, because when you have to cover two or cover four, that area kind of 15 yards right down from where the quarterback is, that's open and you can hit some big plays right down the middle. So essentially you're leaving your middle open. Whereas as the phrase goes, whereas in single high, your middle of the field is closed because you have that single high safety. And then generally in those single high shells, it's cover three or it's cover one, and you have the one guy in the middle, and then you have the guys on the outside, either man or defending the other two thirds of the field.
All right. Thank you so much for that answer. I know sometimes you, Mitch, I know one of your real strengths is technique and scheme. So I know a lot of our listeners out there are dying to know more, and I just wanted to give you a chance to kind of explain that.
Yeah, absolutely. Marty
Party also brings up BC should get more pressure without blitzing, which should help the secondary too.
Yeah, I mean, Hafley isn't particularly blitz heavy. They did it a little more this past year, and they did it creatively, which I liked a lot. And I think with Paul Rhodes coming in being a linebacker coach, I think that's going to create some interesting looks. And like Marty mentioned as well, you know, Donovan Ezra-Rock was coming off a huge year. Nito Akpala had a huge spring, and, you know, that could be a really dynamic duo of edge rushers. And that's a position where BC is really deep. You know, I'm going to sound like a broken record here, but if Shida Salak can stay healthy and kind of finally put it all together, he could be a dynamic player. And then you've got guys like, let me pull up the roster real quick because now I'm blanking on names. Edwin Kalingi, who had a big year. You know, Chris Banks is a versatile player. And then you got some young guys who haven't really seen the field yet, but they could be interesting players as well. So, yeah, I mean, BC has a really talented and deep defensive line. Rooks, there's another one, George Rooks. So you've got guys that should be able to get pressure on the quarterback while only rushing four, which is really what you want, because then you don't have to worry about blitzing and opening up holes in your defensive backfield that can lead to explosive plays.
All right. In a moment, Mitch is going to give us our final key for next year, and I will get into that in just a moment. This is Locked On BC. I'm your host, AJ Black. With me is Mitch, and Mitch is giving us the keys to improving upon a dismal 2022 season. The page has been turned. The issues seemingly have been addressed, and one of the big key issues that has been addressed is on special teams. Mitch, take it away.
Yeah, I mean, I want to caveat this by saying that I'm not some kicking expert. You know, as far as my analysis goes, it's just kick the ball the right way so it goes where it's supposed to. But, you know, you look at BC's kicking in terms of field goals last year, Connor Lighton went 9 of 17, so just over 50%. Really struggled from length. He didn't attempt any 50-yard kicks, and he was 1 for 5 on kicks of 40 to 49 yards. So, and coming off a freshman season where he was pretty good and pretty reliable. So again, kickers are funky, you know, they're kind of head cases. So maybe last year he just kind of had the yips, and this next year he'll get it together. You know, think about a guy like Nate Freese, who was elite his final year at Boston College. I don't think he missed a single kick. And then he gets to the pros and he's terrible in preseason and doesn't even make, I don't even think he made it to regular season for the Lions. So, you know, kickers are just weird, but you know, you have Connor Lighton, who I believe is in a competition with Liam Connor. So that's really great that those names are so similar. It's definitely not confusing at all. So you have those two competing for the job, and that's somewhere where, you know, may the best man win. And if that guy does tend to, if he kind of gets the ups in the middle of the year, starts struggling, you know, you go to the other guy and just hope he can do better. So that's somewhere where BC's got to improve, just so, you know, maybe I'm not asking them to be Justin Tucker and nail every kick from like 55 yards, but just like, hey, if we're in the high red zone where we're, you know, and the offense and the drive stalls out and it's a 40 something yard kick, let's make those. And anything inside, we got to make those with like 100%. Just let's get the points on the board. And with punting, you know, Danny Longman has finally aged out of the program after being with BC since God knows when. So Sam Candotti is going to be taking over as the primary punter. And he had some experience last year, you know, doing some more situational punting, especially when they got around the 50 and they needed to place the punt with more accuracy. So it'll be kind of interesting to see if he has the leg. You know, there were times thinking back to Grant Carlson, his final year, where he was really hot to start the year, but then really fizzled out. If Candotti can add that, you know, booming punts, that's great. I would like to just, I would probably prefer to see him be more consistent and just, even if you're just like, hey, let's get fair catches, let's, you know, get punts down inside the 20, let's just not have any, let's not have any shanks, let's just keep things on the rails. We don't need anything fancy or spectacular, just keep the train moving, let's do our jobs, let's be efficient. And then with returning, you know, BC had a pretty mediocre year at both returning positions. You know, they didn't really get much out of the kick returns. That's something that Ryan O'Keefe has some experience in. Obviously, with his speed, that could be really useful. And I'm interested to see what they do with punt returns, because, you know, they tried Zay. It didn't really work because he didn't really want to, you know, risk catching the ball. Jalen Gill. Sorry?
I said not really do anything.
Yeah, and then Jalen Gill took over and, you know, had some ups and downs there. So, you know, I'm not really sure who's going to take over that position. I know it would make sense if Ryan O'Keefe could do it, but he has never actually returned a punt in college, which is kind of surprising. I think probably Lewis Bond or Dante Reynolds could be in line to start to get that role. Maybe Dino Tomlin. I know he's maybe not the fastest guy, but, you know, he's a very smart player, very tough player. So, you know, maybe if you want a guy that's more like, I guess, kind of a mix of Zay and Gill, and that he's just, I'm going to go out there, fair catch it, make sure we don't lose a ton of yards. Because that was a big problem with Zay actually returning the punts, is that he would kind of tell everybody to clear out and then the punt would bounce and BC would lose, you know, 10 or 15 yards of field position. So again, I'm not asking for Devin Hester or anything crazy. Let's just, with special teams, let's just keep the boat level. Let's not do anything crazy. And, you know, if we do get a big play here or there, that's great, but I'd rather just prevent negatives there. And again, with complimentary football, if you're eliminating negative plays on special teams, that helps both sides of the ball just play a lot better. And that's the idea of complimentary football.
And I think those are three great, great themes. And I think those are three things I think.
And let's hope the new long snapper is good. Again, don't know anything about long snapping. Just hope he's good.
he's already behind the eight ball without a number 69 jersey and
that's true.
Massive mullet. But like Gunnar Daniel, I don't know if folks are listening, is actually on the Ohio State staff this year.
Ooh, that's fun.
Yeah, he's going to be a grad assistant for them. Before I let Mitch go, just a quick few notes, as you can see on the scroll if you're on YouTube. Finn Durstein got the offer that he'd been waiting for, clearly, because he didn't even announce it before he announced he's committing. He's heading to Texas A&M. He's going to be joining Steve Adazio. This is the third former Boston College player ending up in Texas A&M. And best of luck to Finn. It never ended up working at BC, but I'm guessing he's just going to be a depth player there. And there's nothing wrong with heading to College Station and being a depth player, I mean, for a team that you hope will find things out. But I don't know. I don't know if Jimbo's going to figure things out. I don't think on the show we even told you Jalen Gill is going to Fresno State. Mitch, do you have any thoughts on that? Because I don't know much about Fresno State.
Fresno State runs a very pass-heavy offense. They are losing Jake Haner to the NFL, picked up by the Saints, and they lose two receivers as well, Jalen Moreno-Cropper and Nico Remigio, I think his name is. So I don't know who the new quarterback is there, but it's a very pass-heavy offense, and there's targets to have. So best of luck to Jalen. He should get a ton of targets out there, so hopefully he can have a nice final season of college football there.
And as I said on Eagle Insider, I just said, I said that I don't think, from what I've heard from sources I have, I think BC is done in the transfer portal. Javon Antonio, a wide receiver, was rumored to be connected with BC. He's ending up with Dion in his gigantic truck that he just bought. I don't know if you saw that, Mitch.
I missed that.
I will send it to you. He bought a tank of a.
I mean, that's kind of down the road from me out here in Colorado. So maybe I'll head down to Boulder and check it out.
And yeah, it's other than that, it's been a pretty quiet time. I'm going to tell you though, before Mitch leaves, June is going to be crazy for BC's news. It's official visit season. We're going to have commitments, I'm sure. Even though BC went 3-9, I'm sure there are going to be some commitments coming up. So you need to make sure that you are subscribed to Locked On BC on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. And head over to Eagle Insider and become a subscriber there as well. Now, Mitch, where can people find your work?
You can find me at Mitchell T. Wolf, W-O-L-F-E, on Twitter. Like I said, we just published an article about where I kind of identified BC's biggest game changers on both offense and defense. That's on Eagle Insider, so go check that out. And you can find my other work for Steelers Fansided. If you're interested in that, you can check, it's all on my Twitter. Just go find it there. And yeah, I mean, just keep your eyes on this space because we've got some pretty exciting things coming up in the next week or so as well.
All right, folks. Thank you so much for listening. Follow me on Twitter at AJBlack247 and become a subscriber at Eagle Insider. We'll see you all again tomorrow. We're going to preview this weekend's baseball series in the ALS awareness game at Fenway Park between BC and Notre Dame. We'll look at recruiting and everything else you're going to want to need to know. Make sure you are locked on to Locked On BC. Thank you so much. We'll see you again soon.